97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
So we usually play music on the show that is related to the topic, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So yeah. Carl decided to start this week with Bang Bang
by Ariana Grande.
Because he couldn't find a song called Pew Pew.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, what's happening?
Pew, pew. Yeah, I'm good.
Hey,
good. How are you?
People are starting to tell that to me on the street, too.
I heard you. Really?
Yes.
There you go.
Is that what you want to be known for?
Of 30 years in broadcasting, hey. As long as they remember you, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. No such thing as bad publicity, right? So we got a great show for you today. I think James Knowles has been on this show before. He's definitely been on 97.1 and KMOX on various shows in the past. He is the former mayor of Ferguson. He was there through everything. He was there through the initial tragedy with Michael Brown, and then there after the, obviously through the riots and protests the first time.
Got reelected
and was then there also after the court case was not taken up by Bob McCullough, and then, you know, the riots happened again. And I covered a lot. I was in Ferguson for many nights covering all of that. So we're going to have the former mayor of Ferguson on, James Knowles, because he has some really fascinating insight to, after what we saw at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago, he and I have had multiple conversations, and he has pointed out some big differences in the way that the riots in Ferguson and the protests in Ferguson, the way that they were covered by the news, the way that people, you know, tried to or didn't try to hold criminals accountable for their actions, and the way the DOJ handled the situation in Ferguson as opposed to the way that they handle things now, or, you know, apparently handle things now after watching what happened in the Capitol a couple weeks ago. He's got some really interesting stories and insight about how all of that went down and how different it seems to be being handled now. I don't know if that's good or bad. You guys can make up your own decisions, but it's going to be a super interesting conversation with the former mayor of Ferguson, James Knowles. He'll be on the show in just a little bit, and he will be sticking around for the podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that podcast exclusive. The show podcast, of course, goes out every Friday. The podcast exclusive goes out every Monday. Two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors for you each and every week. Right now, we will start the show the way we always start the show. With old reliable, our good friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, always great to talk with you, buddy. How's it going?
Oh, I'm just sitting here contemplating.
Yeah.
The amount of trouble we're in. So.
Yeah. You know, I always ask you this because I always find it fascinating because it gives us some insight into what the common person is thinking. You know, you're there in the store many days. Jess is there in the store every day. You guys are having conversations with customers as they come and go. What is the vibe at Southern Armory, and what are your customers talking about?
So I think the reality has set in because, you know, last week the whole thing was what's going to happen. There was a ton of, you know, information out there that there was going to be mass arrests and, you know, Trump was going to be the next president. And get sworn in, and I was just like, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see. I don't know. You know, I don't know what to expect. You know, never seen this before. So now folks are coming in and going, well, I need ammo. I need an AR. I need an AK. I need magazines. I need.
Now they're saying that?
Oh, yeah. It's really amped up now. It was going on before, but, you know, even my wife said, she's like, you know, it's kind of weird. She's like, it's like, people still think, you know, that Trump's going to, you know, pull off some miraculous save on Stop the Steal. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be the most controversial thing that we've probably ever seen in our lifetime. You know, the numbers just don't make sense. And we can talk about that on another day. But that's it. So now people are like, I need a bunch of stuff. And then you have people that are like,
for pressure on your store and the firearms industry in general to amp up, like you said, after what we've gone through in 2020, that's pretty incredible.
Right. And so now people are coming in going, well, where's all your handguns? And we had another run on handguns last week. And my wife's like, well, we've got some more coming, but they're selling off the list again, you know, on the incoming side, where before we stocked at the walls, we had back stock, and we literally, you know, we had like 5 or 6 handguns on the wall. It was like insane. So we just got another big shipment in, you know, and same thing with rifles. And so you get people that are like, well, I'll just go to another store then. And then they go to another store and they're like, and they come back and they're like, yeah, I'll take that one. It's like, yep. Okay. Not a problem. Because the other store they went to didn't have anything either.
Yeah.
So this is not like a, you know, issue with us. I mean, we added a ton of wholesalers and went manufacturer direct. And, you know, we're getting stuff every week. It's just now it's starting to be like it was right after COVID, you know, first started with the lockdowns, where we were selling it off the list of stuff we knew we had coming in. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And there's really, you know, I don't see an end in sight until these manufacturers go back to working 3 full shifts. Because right now, they're every other shift, a lot of them are sanitizing in between. So you work first shift, second shift will come in and sanitize, third shift will come in and run a bunch of production, and then first shift will sanitize, second shift will work. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that just the optics of seeing how the Capitol looks, Aaron, that people see that, they want to, you know, they're protecting the Capitol, and that fear, I mean, you're obviously selling firearms because fear. There's fear in people's hearts because we don't know what's, you know, what it's going to be like. But, you know, if President Biden...
they feel the need to protect themselves.
Yeah, but if President Biden is the, you know, the unifier, he's going to unite the country... You know, I'm kind of sitting back going, okay, I'm ready, buddy. Show me how this is going to happen, because I would really love to be able to sleep a little bit better at night. So don't you think it's a fear-based purchase?
No, it's not a – first of all, he's not a unifier.
Well, hold on. No, but he said that he was.
Yeah,
but
he said he was. Yeah, he says it, but that's not
– No, we can't mock him at this point, but,
well,
you know.
His actions have already proven him not to be a unifier, which is that's politics. I mean, there's not very many Republicans that are unifiers either. It's not a – this isn't a Joe Biden thing. This is politics. They want power.
And, but Bo's giving him the benefit of the doubt. The honeymoon period is still on for Bo.
I think.
Good
Bo's,
job, Bo.
I think that's a great.
I'm trying, buddy.
I think Bo's question is a really good one, Aaron. If you agree that fear is a big motivator right now, do you think that fear is fear of society breaking down, fear of crime being, you know, getting more prevalent, or fear of losing Second Amendment rights? Like, I need to buy these guns now because I may not be, the fear is they won't be able to do that in the future. Which fear are we talking about?
So you're getting people coming in going, well, I've always wanted a Glock, I've always wanted an FAL, I've always wanted an AK, or I've always wanted a insert your handgun, rifle, shotgun there. And so they're like, I need to buy it now. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're doing. And we've seen that before. I mean, that's how I ended up with my first AR, my first AK, was under the Obama administration. And I went and I bought an AR and an AK, you know, that day, you know,
Aaron, were you not in business at that time?
No, I was like 21.
Mm. When did you,
he's a young man.
Yeah, this is like 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So when did your store open?
Oh, might even been longer than that. 2010 is when we started the firearms business with the firearm sales. We were doing firearms instruction when I was in college. So I've been doing that side of stuff for probably like 15 years. So this was
Aaron's only 26 college. Years old, Bo.
26. Yeah, I was in college. When did Obama come in? Like '08.
Yeah.
So it was
technically
about, it was
'09.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was yeah. Like so it was like '08 into '08.
Carl.
Beginning of '09 is when I got my AR and AK.
Because you thought, because you thought with the Democrat administration coming in that there might that opportunity may not last very long. Yeah. How many times, Aaron, in the last year have has a customer come in to Southern Armory that would normally wait? They would come in and they say, "I want a Ruger revolver," and you don't have one on the, you don't have one. You can order it; it'll take whatever time it'll take. And they say, "Okay, that's fine. I'll wait." As opposed to that same customer comes in now, they want the Ruger revolver, but you have a Glock with a clip in the case, so they'll just buy that because they're not getting what they want. And under old time circumstances, they would have waited, but today they won't wait. Is that prevalent right now?
I don't know about prevalent. That's always been a customer type.
Okay.
I mean, it's like I want a pickup. You know, I want a pickup, and you can't get the Dodge, so you buy the Ford.
Mm-hmm. I want to leave with something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, they're gonna leave with something. So that's always been a customer type. But then you have those customers, and it's weird because my wife and I have had this discussion too, where it's like, you know, he's buying a revolver. You know, like a 5.86 or 6.86 or a 6.29. Those are like the bigger 357 Magnum, 44 Magnum, or like a 500 Smith & Wesson. He's like, I better get it now before they ban it. My wife were looking at each other like, can I get ban revolvers? I mean, here, you know, we'll sell it to you. But, you know, it's never been like a ban issue. I've had several other people go, I probably need to pick up that bolt action. And it's like, yeah, they ain't going to ban that. I mean, I'll order it. I'll sell it to you. But, I mean, that's not what they're going after, you know. Another conversation has been the NRA. We've been talking about the NRA a lot. Mm-hmm. With people, and they're like, yeah, they're starting to ramp back up and ask for donations. It's been a quiet 4 years under Trump. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, like, duh.
Yeah, I mean, Biden said he said in a press conference last week that he's one of his top priorities is to, quote, defeat the NRA.
Right.
And didn't I say something about the NRA is nearly bankrupt
at
this point?
They're trying to move to Texas. So they need to declare bankruptcy in order to complete that process.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, check you out.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's, you know, you're right there, Carl and New Chad. And so we've...
oh, no.
I like New Chad.
New Chad.
I like
New Chad.
I like that.
And I talked with Chad the other day. He's doing well.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's great.
So with all that being said... they're declaring bankruptcy. They're moving to Texas, and there's a few theories out there why they're doing this. I don't know why they didn't do it decades ago, but one of it's like, well, they're trying to escape these lawsuits and stuff. And I'm like, New York is not the friendliest, you know, state I would be in. And then other people are like, Wayne LaPierre has embezzled all this money, and da 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 da, and that's why the coffers are empty. And I'm like, don't know. You know, I'm not privy to that information, so I'm just going to kind of hang out and hope for the best. But, you know, people hoping that the NRA fails, it's like being on an airplane hoping the frickin' pilot dies. And the same thing with people who are like, you know, screaming Biden isn't my president. I mean, if this dude fails, America fails.
Right, right?
Exactly.
Wrong, right,
it's different. And you may not like his rhetoric, right, or you may not like his policies. The same thing with Trump. Like, I, you know, sometimes he would go out, Trump would go off on tangent, I'd be like, whatever. But his policies were great. Mm-hmm. Energy independence, we had no new wars. I'd go on and on and on. And it was, like, awesome. I mean, you're just not going to win with these arguments. You know, I'm looking at, are you qualified and what are you doing? You know, I could care about the unity. I could care less about his words about, we're going to unite everybody. No, uniting everybody means everybody's going to come to your way of thinking.
Exactly.
And that's what that is. And that is not a secret. That is out there. I mean, people in his administration talk about like re-education camps. It's like, come on, we're not going to do re-education camps.
Reprogramming Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Aaron, before we let you go, tell people how they can find Southern Armory in person, online, social media, all that stuff.
Yeah. You can come in and see us. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road in Crestwood. And then, sorry, I went blank there for a second. You can find us on Southern Armory on Facebook. You know, we are posting, you know, kind of stuff intermittently. That'll ramp up as we start to see what the new administration is starting to look like. We've also got the Second Amendment News podcast, and that's you know, we're sharing information there as well, different articles and whatnot as well. So you follow those two places, you'll see us go live. We'll either be talking politics, we'll be talking guns and ammo and accessories and all that. Plus, it's a good way for you to kind of keep up on what inventory we're getting in, because it is coming in and out really quick. So if you're getting on there and you're seeing, hey, we just got, you know, these 12 handguns, 15 handguns, these 20 rifles today, probably a good time to come in and see us. I would not wait. If you see that post, you need to make it a priority.
Yeah, right.
So the other part is the famous one. You can come see us at SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Always great to talk with you, buddy. We will talk to you same time next week.
Yep, next week. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take another quick break, and we've got more Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming next. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I gotta be.
Hold on.
I don't want to go.
I'll see you when you get back, but I'll be up all night, still cleaning this gun.
That's because we have daughters, Tony.
I know.
That's laying down the law.
I know. Yeah.
Well, maybe your daughter will be like mine, and she carried a rifle in the Army, so she's got her own gun.
Yeah, I have a 17-year-old daughter, so I know exactly how Rodney Atkins feels. welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Big thanks again to Aaron Tarlow for joining us in that first segment. Coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to talk to the former mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, James Knowles, friend of the radio station, and somebody that we've had a lot of conversations with. But off the air, I've been having a lot of conversations with James lately. As he's been giving me some background into and some reaction to the way that the media and politicians have been handling the riot at the Capitol and the discussion about these riots and protests and how that has shifted suddenly since the times of Ferguson and other riots that we've seen break out after protests over the last few years. And he's told me he's able to provide some insight about how like interactions with the DOJ, which at the time was the Obama DOJ, and how they worked with the city of Ferguson and the law enforcement there, and the way that, you know, everything was reported on and the way that criminal investigations were handled, and the seeming differences of how it's being handled now and how it was handled then. And I think it's really fascinating stuff. So ask the mayor to come on and join us. And so we'll talk to him in a few minutes. He's also going to stick around for our podcast exclusive, two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio every week. The show podcast goes out on Fridays. The podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. You can get those podcasts anywhere you get podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app, because the radio.com app is free. You can stream the station on the radio.com app. You can rewind live radio, and you can get the podcast of this and every other show on the station there on the radio.com app. Well, we have a few minutes here before James. I want to talk about a couple of I want to go into the great outdoors for a minute and get a break away from these politics and everything. And of course, every time we're talking about the great outdoors, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your true gun concierge in DePere, Missouri, just a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road next to the tennis store. And you'll see the tennis sign before you get to the store. But it's right there. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny are ready for you. They want to be your gun store, your gun concierge. Just go to RazorbackArmory.com for more info. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
So, Bo, I was talking about you this week with a new advertiser somebody that I think will be a part of this show in the future. And it was this guy is named Hank, and he's the general manager of the Farmers Co-op Old Town Country Store in St. Peter's, which I was unaware of. It's right at, you know, 70.
Which is why he wants to advertise.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. and this thing's been there. This thing's been there since 1916. So it's been there over 100 years. And,
wow, seen a lot.
And it's right off the highway, 70 and Mid Rivers. You know the QT at 70 mm-hmm. and Mid Rivers? It's
north of the mall.
Yeah, you just right mm-hmm. off the. If you're coming from my house, you go. You know, you hang a right at 70 and Mid Rivers. If you're going west on 70, you hang a right on Mid Rivers, and the QT is right there. It's right behind the QT. It's like literally right behind the QT. I've been to that QT hundreds of times. I never knew the store was back there, and it is a sweet store. So I'm talking to Hank, and you know, getting a chance to meet him and learn about the store, and we're talking about. The station, and we talk about this show a little bit, and he's a big country music fan, so he's a big Bo Matthews fan.
Hey, now, I'll take it. I'll take it.
And one of the things, so they sell, some of the biggest products that they sell out there are, like, animal care products for everything, from, you know, cats and dogs to chickens and rabbits and horses and
pigs,
everything.
Yep,
yeah, they got it all, right?
Livestock.
Feed and seed. They got it covered. And one of the products is fish food, like for ponds and lakes.
Oh, yeah. So, floating catfish food. I use it all the time.
So there you go. So he, unaware of our story in the saga of your lake and the fish that are no longer there, I told him the story, but I didn't spoil it. And I said, you know, hey, you know, Bo, he's got this lake and he used to have all these catfish in it. Maybe we can get some food here for, you know, for Bo, and maybe he can start to, you know, try to get these, grow some more fish back in the, I said, you know, he said it used to be full, and you know, all the fish would feed like crazy every time they went down there, and then suddenly they disappeared, and there was no fish kill or anything. I was like, do you got any theories? And he said, does Bo let anybody fish that pond? And I said, only a couple. And he said, did Bo check their freezers?
Wow. Did he
and
say
I said,
that?
Yes, yes. I said exactly.
Hank, hold on, Hank. I'm gonna talk to you through the radio, Hank. It may not be true because I've learned recently that major explosions can get basically give fish heart attacks. Oh. So we've got a guy that blows municipal style fireworks near our property. Mm. I mean, we're talking big stuff, and it's weird because it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can't see him, but you can hear him for sure, especially like when I'm recording in my studio. That's the only thing that gets through my earth home. And a helicopter, maybe I can maybe hear it, but I'm thinking the explosion thing could have something to do with it, although I don't own a scuba gear kit, so I can't swim down to find him.
Wait a minute.
I want to.
But if they had a heart attack, wouldn't they be dead, and then wouldn't they float to the top?
But then the hawks and the eagles would get them.
We're talking about
we've got plenty of critters that eat out of that mm-hmm. pond.
But hundreds all at once?
How am I going to get into my neighbor's house to check their freezer? Come on.
We don't have
to. Let's think about that theory.
Well, here's the other thing. They're not in the freezer anymore.
They're gone.
Yeah, well, it's been long enough. Yeah, you're right.
But one day, I hope we do get an official end to the saga of what happened to the catfish.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to. Are the carp still there?
Yeah, everything else is there.
Got any bass in that pond?
Tony only wants bass.
Yeah.
I stocked it several years ago, and so yes, baby, there are bass in there.
Oh.
And that's why I haven't given you directions to my house. But I do want to put out a shout out to Old Town Country Store is what it's called. OldTownCountryStore.com is their website I'm on right now.
Yeah.
Look at how people are doing their, you know, they're ramping up their gardening. Just this morning, my wife and I were talking about a greenhouse to grow our own vegetables. I don't have the patience to deal with raising our own chickens, although our neighbor does. So we trade stuff back and forth for eggs. But a lot of people are doing that. They're ramping up their gardening, or maybe they're getting chickens or baby pigs.
Yeah.
This store can help you get through it.
Yeah. That's another big thing for them besides the animal stuff. The gardening stuff, they've got it all. They've got grass seed, obviously, and everything for your plants and your garden and everything. They got fertilizers, all of it. They got you covered out there. It was a really cool store. I was shocked to know that I had been so close to it so many times without realizing it was there. And what used to be that it's old downtown St. Peter's. They got this really cool 3 or 4 story grain elevator right in front of the Old Town Country Store. Mm. So yeah, it's really, really cool stuff. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get Hank on the store or on the show sometime in the near future. Right now, let's go
and
ahead.
For the record,
yeah, go ahead, Bo.
For the record, it says on their website, you do not have to be a co-op member to come in and save at their newly remodeled store.
Yeah.
So.
Correct.
That's open to everybody.
That was 104 years ago.
And the store is super cool. They got a lot of great stuff in there. And
Carl, I'm sure that they've updated their website since 1916, though. I'm thinking.
Let's hope so.
All right, let's take another quick break. And we are going to talk to the former mayor of Ferguson, James Knowles. When we get back, James is going to join us for the rest of the show. And he's going to join us for the podcast exclusive this week. So make sure you not only listen for the rest of the show, but also download that podcast so you get the entire conversation we have with Mayor Knowles when we get back to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
I'll see you when you get back. Probably be up all night. Still cleaning this gun.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Producer Carl is spanning the music genres.
We had pop, we had country, and now we're bringing you back to your old days up the dial.
Yeah, on the point. Yep, that's right. Welcome back to the show. Tony Colombo here, producer Carl Middleman, of course, in studio, and my partner, Bo Matthews.
That always makes me laugh.
I don't know if Carl's nickname, if Carl's nickname should be Pew Pew or if it should be New Chad. I like them both. So.
It was Carl the intern for 30 years, right, so.
Yeah. And it will always be. Yeah, that will always be. But your secondary nickname for this show, it's a toss-up right now between Pew Pew and New Chad.
Hey, I Carl, like at least it's better than just Pew.
I like New Chad. So as I mentioned here, in just one moment, we're going to get James Knowles III, the former mayor of Ferguson, on the show with us. Going to finish the show this week with the mayor and then also continue the discussion in this week's podcast exclusive. So if you want to get the whole conversation, make sure that you download that podcast exclusive. Comes out on Monday. Of course, we release two podcasts every week. The show podcast, which you're listening to right now, which you can actually get the podcast before the show airs. The podcast comes out on Fridays, the show podcast, and the podcast exclusive comes out on Mondays. Get it anywhere that you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app as the best place to get the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast. So let's go ahead and get the mayor on the line with us now, Mayor James Knowles from Ferguson, former mayor. I'm still not used to saying former mayor, James, but it's always great to talk with you, buddy. How's it going?
It's doing pretty good. It's always great to hear from you guys. And it is, I've spent 15 years of my life in public service, and I've been out of office since June. Still hard to get used to that a little bit.
Yeah, and I bet.
I feel like the godfather. I keep getting calls constantly, for things. I try to get they keep trying to pull me back in, and I'm like, I'm not running for anything, at least not for right now.
So real quick, before we dive into all the topics that we want to discuss with you, give us that quick update. For people that don't know, you were termed out, right? So you weren't able to run again. What have you been doing in the meantime, and what is do you have any future ideas, aspirations of where you're taking your career?
Well, being mayor wasn't a full-time job, though it took full-time, attention, typically. Yeah. But so, focused, on my career, but then also my family. I mean, you and I have talked, Tony, about, my daughter last December, just a little over a year ago now, was diagnosed with leukemia. So I've been spending a lot of time with her, obviously her treatments and everything. Take up a lot of our time and attention, but she's doing very well.
That's good.
Responded well to the treatments. It's about a year ago next week that we were in the hospital for a little over a month. So,
I know that's been a tough. I know Christmas. That's been an unbelievably tough situation that most parents can't even fathom. So, God bless you and your family and your little girl.
But it was a blessing to get out of politics about the time I needed to. But. Yeah. But, you know, she's doing well, and I'm certainly staying involved in both in our community and in, and I haven't decided on what I would do next. I kind of look to see, you know, where my calling would be, where I would be needed. I've never been a political ladder climber that just somehow ladders, you know, appeared in front of me. And I've been pushed up them. So,
yeah.
I didn't intend on running for mayor of Ferguson. It just, you know, happened, and certainly didn't intend for everything to happen during my tenure, but there's obviously a lot of that we've been through, that a lot of that I've dealt with, that I think there's some good experience that would be beneficial to you know, potential future offices.
Yeah.
But,
you know, you mentioned that. You mentioned that.
Right now, I haven't declared anything, but right. You would be the first to know. You
yeah,
know?
We're here for you. When you're ready to make that announcement, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, you can make the announcement right here. You mentioned that, you know, Absolutely. Being mayor of Ferguson was not a salary-wise, is definitely not a full-time job. There's been a lot of discussions over the years about whether public servants should make a living or even in many cases, you know, a very well above average living, just doing their public service. Where do you stand on that? Do you feel like you know, you should that it should be a full time job and a six figure career if you're a representative or, you know, a mayor of a big city, or do you think that creates problems?
You know, it's a double edged sword. I don't think anybody should get into the, and I know I heard Dave Glover said this not just the other day, but nobody should get into office for money. You know, nobody should be running for office saying, you know, that's a good career. That's a financial, you know, that to me, there's a financial benefit that I'm running for office.
Yeah. And that can motivate you to make decisions that maybe you would otherwise not make because you don't want to lose your job that's making so much money for you.
But on the other hand, I mean, we have a lot of like really poorly paid public servants mm-hmm. who take side money because they can't make any money doing anything else. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been very blessed to have a career in which my employers have allowed me a tremendous amount of time and flexibility to serve. Not everybody has that opportunity. So you really limit who can run for city council or who can run for mayor, who can run for state rep. I mean, who in their right mind can say, I have a good job, I'm an intelligent person, I have a great career, but I'm going to take 5 months a year off of my job to run for state rep so I can make $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody in their right mind does that, which is why you don't get, you know, you're not getting a lot of people who want those kind of jobs.
Yeah, who are solely focused on that.
You get lawyers, you get some people who, you know, you get retirees, you get people who can't get other jobs, frankly. I mean, there's some people I knew who are in public office. I'm like, you probably couldn't get any other job but that.
Mr. Dolls, this is Bo. I do have a question for you. Going back to your original statement of you feel like the Godfather, not to reveal, you know, actual text, but what are some of the things that people are saying to you when they're looking at the headlines, they're seeing what happened in Washington, D.C., comparing it to, you know, what happened in Ferguson? Was Ferguson seemed like a practice run or the beginning of what we're seeing in all the cities last summer? What are some things people are asking you or talking to you about?
Well, other than the always the question, you know, will you run for this? Will you run for that? I mean, I get a lot of calls about county executive and other things, but on that front, you know, somebody's got to represent North County.
Amen.
But you know, Bo, to your point, you know, I look back, and a lot of people, especially in North County and in St. Louis, I think see, like you said, you know, trial run's probably a good, you know, word for what we saw start to happen in Ferguson back in 2014. When I see people when people refer to the police response today and over the past few years, you know, a lot of that shift in how we deal with protests and protesters, how protesters act, how they're allowed to act, the difference between protesters and rioters, you know, a lot of that conversation really started in Ferguson in 2014.
Right.
And today, what we see is, and I've been expecting this for a long time, I mean, I think what we saw unfortunately happen at the Capitol back on, I think it was the 6th of January, you know, you have you have a similar sort of situation where you have a protest. Certainly there were people there who planned on being, coming to do some nefarious deeds. But by and large, you had a huge protest that got out of hand, and people who were there to do nefarious things got to hide among those people. Mm-hmm. People who probably didn't show up to do what they did got caught up in this moment, mm-hmm. got caught up in the fervor, got caught up in this mob mentality. I mean, that happened in Ferguson every night, and I used to have that conversation with ministers and people who were out there, and I'd say, I realize you're not here to burn a building down, but if 500 of you are here to pray with a candle and five people have Molotov cocktails hiding amongst you, mm-hmm. we cannot tell the difference in how we respond. And, we saw that over the summer. We've seen that in every protest since. And police have struggled with how to deal with that. Do we show force? Do we de-escalate? How far can you de-escalate? How far do you let them go? I mean, they let them take over whole city blocks over the summer. You know, this year they didn't know what to do. Instead of, shooting people getting into the Capitol, they let them in because they didn't know what to. I mean, law enforcement is in an untenable situation. And the, depending on who's protesting, everybody wants to change, I guess, their opinion on how you deal with protesters. It needs to be dealt with across the board the same way. You cannot have people have, you have justifiable anger and you don't. You're allowed to break the law, but you're not. I'm sorry, Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon and those guys don't get to dictate, who gets to choose who's got righteous anger and who doesn't.
Right.
We need to understand people's anger on either side, and we need to have a conversation with them about that, and we need to not dismiss people on either side. But no matter
what your motivation is, if you break the law, you break the law. Whether or not you're
absolutely,
no matter what your whether it's righteous or it's or not, it doesn't matter when you start breaking the law. Only got a few minutes left in the show here, but we're going to continue this conversation with Mayor Knowles in the podcast exclusive, as I mentioned. So make sure you download that podcast, Mayor. While we have a couple minutes left, what's the biggest difference, do you think? Maybe the biggest thing that has evolved since the Ferguson riots and the Capitol riots. What are the biggest differences you see either from politicians or the media or law enforcement from the way it was done in Ferguson and what we're seeing now?
I mean, I go back to when we first started experiencing unrest at our council meetings, and I saw how the Department of Justice and groups not just allowed, but, almost encouraged, people to act out, speak out, mm-hmm. disrupt council meetings, intimidate. Mm-hmm. I mean, they like to say, our job here is to make you feel uncomfortable. That's the purpose of a protest. That's only like half a step away from intimidation. I find it ironic that, Congress people now are upset that, people are coming to their house to scare them or get them to do things when they've been doing this for years to local officials, to school board people. I mean, they broke out the windows in my house. They came over to my house and intimidated and scared my 8-month pregnant wife.
Wow.
But you know what? Don Lemon and no Congress, none of those people cared then. They felt like, I listened to them chant over and over again, this is what democracy looks like. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, they're scared and now they're intimidated. And so now it's no longer an okay thing. People needed to decide and be across the board even with what is acceptable, what is, acceptable forms of demonstration, what is, the conversation we need to have about that.
Yeah.
We haven't done that over the past 5 years. And now that the pendulum's swinging back and forth, it's frankly chaotic. I don't know where we go from here. if we don't have a conversation.
So we're going to continue this conversation in the podcast exclusive. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show. That is James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson. He's going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. Again, podcast exclusive comes out on Monday, so make sure you download the podcast so you can hear the rest of this conversation with the mayor. That's going to do it for this week's show. For producer Carl Mittleman and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Producer Carl is spanning the music genres.
We had pop, we had country, and now we're bringing you back to your old days up the dial.
Yeah, on the point. Yep, that's right. Welcome back to the show. Tony Colombo here, producer Carl Mittleman, of course, in studio, and my partner, Bo Matthews.
That always makes me laugh.
I don't know if Carl's nickname, I don't know if we if Carl's nickname should be Pew Pew or if it should be New Chad. I like them both. So.
It was Carl the intern for 30 years, right, so.
Yeah. And it will always be. Yeah, that will always be. But your secondary nickname for this show, it's a toss-up right now between Pew Pew and New Chad.
Hey, I Carl, like at least it's better than just Pew.
I like
right. Pew-wee.
I like New Chad. So as I mentioned here, in just one moment, we're going to get James Knowles III, the former mayor of Ferguson, on the show with us. Going to finish the show this week with the mayor and then also continue the discussion in this week's podcast exclusive. So if you want to get the whole conversation, make sure that you download that podcast exclusive. Comes out on Monday. Of course, we release two podcasts every week. The show podcast, which you're listening to right now, which you can actually get the podcast before the show airs. The podcast comes out on Fridays, the show podcast, and the podcast exclusive comes out on Mondays. Get it anywhere that you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app as the best place to get the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast. So let's go ahead and get the mayor on the line with us now. Mayor James Knowles from Ferguson, former mayor. I'm still not used to saying former mayor, James, but it's always great to talk with you, buddy. How's it going?
It's doing pretty good. It's always great to hear from you guys. And it is, I've spent 15 years of my life in public service, and I've been out of office since June. Still hard to get used to that a little bit.
Yeah, and I bet. I bet.
I feel like the godfather. I keep getting calls constantly, for things. They keep trying to pull me back in, and I'm like, I'm not running for anything, at least not for right now.
So real quick, before we dive into all the topics that we want to discuss with you, give us that quick update. For people that don't know, you were termed out, right? So you weren't able to run again. What have you been doing in the meantime, and what is do you have any future ideas, aspirations of where you're taken your career?
Well, I've being mayor wasn't a full-time job, though it took full-time attention, sure. Typically. Yeah. But so focused on my career, but then also my family. I mean, you and I have talked, Tony, about my daughter last December, just a little over a year ago now, was diagnosed with leukemia. So been spending a lot of time with her, obviously her treatments and everything take up a lot of our time and attention, but she's mm-hmm. doing very well.
That's good.
Responded well to the treatments. It's about a year ago next week that we were in the hospital for a little over a month. So,
I know that's been a tough. I know Christmas. That's been an unbelievably tough situation that most parents can't even fathom. So, God bless you and your family and your little girl.
But it was a blessing to get out of politics about the time I needed to. But.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing well, and I'm certainly staying involved in both in our community and I haven't decided on what I would do next. I kind of look to see, where my calling would be, where I would be needed. I've never been a political ladder climber that just somehow ladders, appeared in front of me,
and
I've been pushed up them. So,
yeah.
I didn't intend on running for mayor of Ferguson. It just, you know, happened, and certainly didn't intend for everything to happen during my tenure. But there's obviously a lot of that we've been through, that a lot of that I've dealt with, that I think there's some good experience that would be beneficial to potential future offices.
Yeah.
But,
you know, you mentioned that.
Right now, I haven't declared anything, but right. You would be the first to know.
Yeah, we're here for you. When you're ready to make that announcement, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, you can make the announcement right here. You mentioned that, you know,
Absolutely. Being
mayor of Ferguson was not salary-wise, is definitely not a full-time job. There's been a lot of discussions over the years about whether public servants should make a living or even in many cases, a very well above average living, just doing their public service. Where do you stand on that? Do you feel like that it should be a full time job and a six figure career if you're a representative or a mayor of a big city, or do you think that creates problems?
You know, it's a double edged sword. I don't think anybody should get into the. And I know I heard Dave Glover said this not just the other day, but nobody should get into office for money. You know, nobody should be running for office saying, you know, that's a good career. That's a financial, that to me, there's a financial benefit that I'm running for office.
Yeah. And that can motivate you to make decisions that maybe you would otherwise not make because you don't want to lose your job that's making so much money for you.
But on the other hand, I mean, we have a lot of like really poorly paid public servants who, who take side money because they can't make any money doing anything else. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been very blessed to have a career in which my employers have allowed me a tremendous amount of time and flexibility to serve. Not everybody has that opportunity. So you really limit who can run for city council or who can run for mayor, who can run for state rep. I mean, who in their right mind can say, I have a good job, I'm an intelligent person, I have a great career, but I'm going to take 5 months a year off of my job to run for state rep so I can make $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody in their right mind does that, which is why you don't get, you're not getting a lot of people who want those kind of jobs.
Yeah, who are solely focused on that.
You get lawyers, you get some people who, you get retirees, you get people who can't get other jobs, frankly. I mean, there's some people I know who are in public office. I'm like, you probably couldn't get any other job but that.
Mr. Dolls, this is Bo. I do have a question for you. Going back to your original statement of you feel like the Godfather, not to reveal actual text, but what are some of the things that people are saying to you when they're looking at the headlines, they're seeing what happened in Washington D.C., comparing it to what happened in Ferguson? Was Ferguson seemed like a practice run or the beginning of what we're seeing in all the cities last summer? What are some things people are asking you or talking to you about?
Well, other than the always the question, will you run for this? Will you run for that? I mean, I get a lot of calls about county executive and other things, but on that front, somebody's got to represent North County.
Amen.
But Bo, to your point, I look back, and a lot of people, especially in North County and in St. Louis, I think see, like you said, trial runs probably a good, word for what we saw start to happen in Ferguson back in 2014. When I see people when people refer to the police response today and over the past few years, a lot of that shift in how we deal with protests and protesters, how protesters act, how they're allowed to act, the difference between protesters and rioters, a lot of that conversation really started in Ferguson in 2014.
Right.
And today, what we see is, and I've been expecting this for a long time, I mean, I think what we saw unfortunately happen at the Capitol back on, I think it was the 6th of January, you have a similar sort of situation where you have a protest. Certainly there were people there who planned on being, coming to do some nefarious deeds. But by and large, you had a huge protest that got out of hand, and people who were there to do nefarious things got to hide among those people. Mm-hmm. People who probably didn't show up to do what they did got caught up in this moment, mm-hmm. got caught up in the fervor, got caught up in this mob mentality. I mean, that happened in Ferguson every night, and I used to have that conversation with ministers and people who were out there, and I'd say, I realize you're not here to burn a building down, but if 500 of you are here to pray with a candle and five people have Molotov cocktails hiding amongst you, mm-hmm. we cannot tell the difference in how we respond. And, you know, we saw that over the summer. We've seen that in every protest since. And police have struggled with how to deal with that. Do we show force? Do we de-escalate? How far can you de-escalate? How far do you let them go? I mean, they let them take over whole city blocks over the summer. You know, this year they didn't know what to do. Instead of, you know, shooting people getting into the Capitol, they let them in because they didn't know what to. I mean, law enforcement is in an untenable situation, and the, you know, depending on who's protesting, you know, everybody wants to change, I guess, their opinion on how you deal with protesters. It needs to be dealt with across the board the same way. You know, you cannot have people have, you know, you have justifiable anger and you don't. You're allowed to break the law, but you're not. You know, I'm sorry, Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon and those guys don't get to dictate, you know, who gets to choose who's got righteous anger and who doesn't.
Right.
We need to understand people's anger,
yeah,
on either side, and we need to have a conversation with them about that, and we need to not dismiss people on either side. And
but no matter what your motivation is, if you break the law, you break the law. Whether or not you're
absolutely,
no matter what your
absolutely,
whether it's righteous or it's or not, it doesn't matter when you start breaking the law. Only got a few minutes left in the show here, but we're going to continue this conversation with Mayor Knowles in the podcast exclusive, as I mentioned. So make sure you download that podcast, Mayor. While we have a couple minutes left, what's the biggest difference, do you think? Maybe the biggest thing that has evolved since the Ferguson riots and the Capitol riots. What are the biggest differences you see either from politicians or the media or law enforcement from the way it was done in Ferguson and what we're seeing now?
I mean, I go back to when we first started experiencing unrest at our council meetings, and I saw how the Department of Justice and groups not just allowed, but, you know, almost encouraged, you know, people to act out, speak out, mm. disrupt council meetings, intimidate. Mm. I mean, they like to say, you know, our job here is to make you feel uncomfortable. That's the purpose of a protest. You know, that's only like half a step away from intimidation. I find it ironic that, you know, Congress people now are upset that, you know, people are coming to their house to, you know, scare them or you get them to do things when they've been doing this for years to local officials, to school board people. I mean, they broke out the windows in my house. You know, they came over to my house and intimidated and scared my 8-month pregnant wife.
Wow.
But you know what? Don Lemon and no congressman, none of those people cared then. They felt like, oh, well, this is, I mean, I listened to them chant over and over again, this is what democracy looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, you know, they're scared and now yeah. they're intimidated. And so now it's no longer an okay thing. People needed to decide and be across the board, even with what is acceptable, what is, you know, acceptable forms of demonstration. What is, you know, the conversation we need to have about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We haven't done that over the past 5 years, and now that the pendulum's swinging back and forth, it's frankly chaotic. I don't know where we go from here if we don't have a conversation.
So we're going to continue this conversation in the podcast exclusive. Unfortunately, we're out of time here on the show. That is James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson. He's going to stick around for that podcast exclusive. Again, podcast exclusive comes out on Monday, so make sure you download the podcast so you can hear the rest of this conversation with the mayor. That's going to do it for this week's show. For producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much
for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.